Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's still on the throne today. I try my best not to be caught up in the mood of people as they come in, because the mood is not always good. Christians do not always live in victory, and I'm one of them who doesn't stand on a mountaintop 24/7. I go through deep, dark valleys. The difference in me and many Christians is I just don't stay in those valleys. I don't wallow in those places in my life, because that is no, I can't stand it. No matter what justification there is for this attitude of defeat and depression, no matter what the circumstance is, either our God is the true and living God or he is not. Either the Bible is true or it is a lie. And you have to get to the point that you make decisions based on what is true and not what you feel and not what your immediate circumstance is. The scripture said, while we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal, they're subject to change. Everything in this world is temporary. The Bible said the world passes away and the lust thereof. And the actual Greek word is transient. It's in a state of flux. It's in a state of constant change. If you haven't looked in the mirror lately, you and I are in a state of constant change. Amen. You don't see it from day to day, but if we get a picture of you when you were 16 and a picture of you now, you will see a vast difference. Just if the Lord tarries, wait 20 more years. Changes will continue to occur. You can't avoid that. It's going to happen to everybody. Just like we can't avoid a day when this body has to be laid down. That day is going to come, and David knew it was coming, and when it came to him, he said, I go the way of all living. Nothing unique is happening to me. Everybody on this planet is going to taste that one time. But his faith was in the Lord. Amen. So he didn't look at it as some dreaded thing, but something that would transport him from this finite world, this fallen finite world, to the infinite eternal realm, amen, where there is no death and no dying, where there's no sickness, there's no aging. Praise God. That's what awaits Christians. In the interim, we need grace from the Lord that is sufficient. Now, Paul said that the grace of God told him, and he told us what God told him in the new covenant. My grace is sufficient for you. Because his prayer, like my prayer, and I dare say your prayer, was to get out from under the pressure. Amen. Amen. I do not want to go through trials. I want to escape from trials. That's what I want. I'm not a glutton for punishment. I have never got up any morning of my life and said, Lord, it's been a long time since I've been on my face before you, completely broken and give out, and without your help in desperation, I need your grace more than I need my next breath. In fact, I need your grace in order to take my next breath. In him we live and we move and we have our being. Amen. I need your help in my life. Amen. I've got to have it. I can't fake it, and I don't even want to try. Amen. But I want the genuine. When you come in here, I want you to see something genuine. And what I want you to receive is something so authentic that it will take you through your trials and your tests. So he makes your feet like hinds feet. He doesn't change the grade. He changes you and me. We want him to change the grade to smooth out our life. He wants to change us regardless of what the grade is. And it's not easy to change us, because sometimes we have to hit the bottom to look up. Right. And sometimes we don't like to acknowledge that we've hit the bottom. We like to come over like we've got it all together. It's human nature. It's the flesh just flaunting itself. How are you today? I'm fine. Well, I'm glad you're fine, because I'm fine too. Everybody's not fine all the time, me or you. But God is faithful all the time. So we've got to get open, we've got to get honest, and we've got to get a hold of the sufficiency in the area that God said. We've been taught to be strong. We've been taught to stand on our mountaintops, to never concede that we have a weakness anywhere if we become a Christian. And that's true in a sense, but only in the sense that when I'm weak and acknowledge it, then, and only then, can I claim to be strong. Bible said never to be strong in yourself. It said to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not in the strength of your faith. You have to lean on him. You have to rely on him. You have to look to him. You have to trust in him. And I have to do it every day of my life. Who has a God like our God? The God of grace. Before I talk much more about the grace of God, I want to talk to you about the God of grace. Because there wouldn't be any grace of God unless there was a God who was gracious. And they that do know their God, they will be strong. They will do exploits. The New International said they will be strong and take action. The whole book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. Actually, in one sense, it's the Acts of the Holy Ghost through them. But they had to take action. They had to take action. There was a man, Paul went down to Lystra, and I shared that with some ministers in a meeting. Paul went down to Lystra in Acts 14, and there he preached the gospel. And the point that I was wanting to bring to them, the Spirit of God really was wanting to bring to them, and maybe to us here today, is that healing and deliverance and God's supernatural manifestation to heal people and deliver them. It is not some Pentecostal thing that we have a corner on. It's not extraneous to the gospel, in other words, but it is part and parcel of it. You cannot extract his miracles, his deliverance, his healing from the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's part of it. So Paul went down to Lystra, Acts 14, and there he preached the gospel. It wasn't just that he died for us, but that he rose for us. And he stands up for us in heaven. When you're weak, when I fall down, Jesus stands up. When you fall down, Jesus stands up. The Bible said the reason that we have such confidence that we're going to be saved is that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Therefore, he's able to save us to the uttermost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That means there's nothing you can do to add to your security but trust in the one that secures you. Hallelujah. And I want to take that beyond just the salvation of your soul and take it to the deliverance of your life right here and right now. There's nothing you can do to change that except trust in the one who promised to never leave you and never forsake you. I want to redefine grace here today because I've heard the theological definition and I've never been comforted by it in the time of trouble in my life. Grace, defined in the most simple form, very significant, and I've used it before, it's okay to use it. God's riches, an acronym, taking the letters of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor from God. Can you say amen? Unmerited favor. Say it with me, unmerited favor. Do you think just knowing that we have the theological truth of that took Paul through his troubles? You think there was a presence in his life of the Lord? I believe God's presence was in his life. I believe the Holy Spirit came to do what he was sent here to do. I believe he is, in fact, the comforter. I believe he can comfort you today. I believe the paraclete can stand in your behalf. I believe he can rise up within you. I believe he can do in you what you can't do in yourself. Amen. I believe that's why he was given. One of the reasons he was given, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And it's not just power in the sense of just force. It's power in the sense of manifest presence in our life. It's Jesus in you, standing up in you. And it's not just the fact that his ability is given you, but his presence is manifest to you. I love the story, the true story of some of these great preachers of old. And Rex Humbard started that big church in Ohio or Michigan, wherever it was, the Cathedral of Tomorrow. I remember him and his wife. His wife used to sing, "There's Something About a Mountain," and Rex would preach and people would come to know Christ as their Savior. Rex's daddy was a traveling evangelist in tent meetings. And one time they threatened him because so many people were coming off of alcohol when they got saved that it was hurting the bootleg business. I mean, people got saved. They quit drinking. Let him that steal, steal no more. Let him that drink, drink no more. Get off of that junk. Amen. They came off of it. They were losing business. So a group of them came and threatened him and said, if you preach one more night, you pack up, you get out of here. We threatened him. Of course, what does a man of God do? Pick up and run? No, he preaches. Well, they come and they beat him up. They didn't kill him. They beat him up. They took him to a railroad track called riding him out of town. They didn't put him on a rail and put him on it like where that came from, but they pointed him out of town and they said, you move now. Well, he felt the Lord's witness. That was the last night of the revival. He had already announced it. Amen. He didn't quit because of them. He quit because the Lord said, I've done what I sent you here to do. I want you to go on anyway. So he was beat up. He got beat up. You say, Brother Venable, how did God let that happen? You've never read the Bible, have you? What book have you been reading? I just want to ask you, did it have a goose on it? Was it Mother Goose's fables? Did you ever read the Bible? You ever read about prophets? Somebody said one time, if you're going to be a prophet in that day, you better pledge your head to heaven. Can you say amen? What's this thing about enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? What hardness? Nobody told me about hardness. What's this thing about in Hebrews chapter 10, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Hallelujah. Trouble is God's opportunity to keep his promise, keep his covenant, show his power in our behalf. If you didn't have a test, you wouldn't have a testimony. If you didn't have a testimony, we couldn't spread his fame. It's tested Christians that have testimonies. Hallelujah, it's people that God brought through that are able to encourage others that are going through, that they can get through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone in here found the sufficiency of grace? Wouldn't it be great if everyone in here, instead of sensing our weakness and inability, said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And how does he do that? The Bible said, when I am weak and experience that sufficiency of his grace. See, this is not power. This is presence. This is presence in your life. Not presence like Christmas. This is... Yeah, ain't nothing I like better when I'm down than somebody to give me a present. Buy me a Rolex and I'll feel much better tomorrow. Honey, I've been in places Escalades couldn't make me feel no better. Gold and silver couldn't get me out of deep, deep. You get in deep clinical depression, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't enough money in the world to buy you enough stuff to pull you out of that hole. And that's called the deceitfulness of riches. Riches promises to do something that they cannot deliver on. No matter how much rich you become, there are people that got rich in the things of this world, but they're empty in their spirit and in their soul. And they're dissatisfied. And they go from relationship to relationship. They go from sin to sin, looking for something to satisfy. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Can you say, man, we brought nothing into this world and we ain't going to take a thing out of it. He's going to take a soul. Amen. There's a soul to lay before the Lord given to his credit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you say, man, you can take them to the Lord. So what we need is to experience the sufficiency of grace. Let me read this. This is so exciting. I can't even preach on it all because I get to preaching. But let me read it to you. Micah chapter 7 for just a few minutes. How many will go with me in this scripture for just a few minutes? It starts out with saying, who is a God? Remember, the subject is the God of grace. The God of grace. Micah in the Old Testament chapter 7. King James. Micah 7 verse 18. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. The God of grace. He wants us to know about this character, this ministry, this wonderful nature of our God. Why? Because that they that do know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. And that's exactly what was occurring in the book of Acts. The Bible said that there was a man at Lystra in Acts 14 who never had walked. The same heard Paul preach, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had the faith to be healed. As he declared the gospel, he had to declare more than just the fact that we're sinners saved by grace and we'll go to heaven when we die. He had to declare that once you receive Christ as your Savior, the God of the covenant, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has become your Father. And in the name of Jesus, you can receive what you need from Him. Can you say amen? He's available to you. So the gospel was more than what we have made it. There was deliverance in this good news. Healing in this good news. God's help in this good news. Can you say amen? Because the man heard him preach the gospel and faith arose to be healed. Can you say amen? That's why I said faith, healing is not extraneous to the gospel, but it is part and parcel of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He told them, go and preach the gospel and heal the sick. And every time that occurred like it did in Acts 14, there was effective evangelism. People saw the manifest power of God and it drew them to come to know Christ as their Savior. There were whole cities transformed. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. People began to be saved. People began to be healed. Demons were cast out. And the sick were healed. And great joy came to the city because there was more than just theological terms threw around. I mean, no, you need more when you're going through it than a theological comprehension of what grace is. You need the manifest presence of God in your life. You need the one that said, I'll never leave you, to draw up real close to you. Can you say amen? I'm so glad in the back of that ambulance, closest person to me on this planet, amen, in the physical sense, is that little lady right in there. We've been together almost 50 years, and we grew up together. Someone said, Brother Vimble, you married at 16 and 14. You robbed the cradle. No, I didn't. I jumped in it with Pamela. Can you say, man, when you're 16, you're not robbing much of a cradle. That's only 2 years difference in us. Amen. I'm married to a younger woman. It's hard to keep up. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. She's only 64 and I'm 66. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Listen carefully to me. She's so close to me, but when they put me in the back of that ambulance, my wife wasn't in there with me. She followed the ambulance to the hospital because they, you know, an event could have occurred. They may have had to work on me. Amen. It was so good to know, and at that moment in time, whose hands I was in. Amen. Sister Ruth asked me, you think that might have been the gift of faith for that occasion? It probably was. Amen. Because I was so relaxed. It was like, this is what I'm talking. Sufficient grace gives you rest in the time that seemed like you ought to be panic-stricken. Right. Seemed like you ought to be at your wit's end. Seemed like you ought to be desperate. And instead, you're just dependent. And you just, it felt like we got an easy chair at home. And it's one. Anybody got an easy chair that reclines, a recliner? It's got a button on it. You push the button, it'll lay you back. And the foot thing will come up, and you can just lay back. And it's a big, easy chair. And it's just, when you lay back, you just lay back. And I felt laid back. I did. I felt like, you know, Lord, if you want me home, I'll come home. If you want me to stay, I'll stay. But right now, I'm just laid back. That's grace, man. That's got to be grace. That ain't normal. That's a peace that passes understanding. That's a presence that is saying, I'm with you. There's nothing to fear. Death can't conquer you. Amen. You're in my hands. You're in my control. And I was resting. And actually, I don't know how to put this into words where you will comprehend it. I'm not saying it was fun, but I was at rest. Somewhere down in that Roman prison, Paul's soul was so at rest. Grace was on Peter. He didn't even hardly realize it. But I'm going to tell you something. When they're going to kill you in the morning. When they're going to kill you in the morning. And they would have killed you the day before except for a Jewish holiday. So they held you over till the next day. And in the morning when the sun rises, they're going to kill you. And the church is praying for you. And the angel has to. See, before the angel of deliverance came, the grace was already on him. Because he was asleep. Asleep. And he was in deep sleep. And the angel had to hit him on the thigh to wake him up. Amen. Wake up! What? At midnight, Paul and Silas in the same condition with the grace of God that fell on them. They prayed. And walked that floor and said, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, oh, God, oh, heaven, why did this happen? Why aren't you here? What are we going to do? Someone said, when in fear, when in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Amen. That's the human reaction to the things that trouble us and challenge us. But at midnight, they prayed. That grace fell on them and they sang praises unto God. When they were singing those praises, they didn't know how this was going to come out. They didn't know if they was going to live or die. But they knew. See, that grace settled in. That rest came. The devil doesn't want us to receive that because that's when you stand. When it says, having done all, stand. You stand in that strength. Can you say, man, glory be to God. Paul said, his grace is sufficient for me. I prayed three times the wrong way. How much of our prayer life is empty because we're praying the wrong way? Three times for the Lord to take this from me. Hey, I prayed more than three times for certain things. I prayed dozens of times. And until I got to the place that I was interested in pursuing and receiving this sufficient grace. I had a lot of hard battles with discouragement. But when I said, Lord, if your grace is sufficient, these are one of those tis or taint scriptures. Either it is or it taint. Well, I'm glad to report it is. But it's only to those that are open to receive grace sufficient instead of a smoothing out of the circumstance. Someone put it this way in just practical language. Don't pray for smoother roads. Pray for heavy-duty shock absorbers. Doesn't mean you become so resilient in your own self. It means you realize the place of grace in your life. And see, when that rest comes, you can just let God make choices. And that's restful in itself. You don't have to, Brother Venable, did you have to wrestle with the devil? See, my dad thought, you know, he got it in his mind that every day you had to fight the devil. I mean, the Bible said, having done all, stand. Amen. Actually, that scripture about standing is about demonstrating a victory already won. It's not going out to get one. It's standing in the fact that you already have it in Christ. Can you say, man, all things are yours that he has provided, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Can you say, man, that's called wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. Can you say amen? You'll never understand putting on the armor of God if you just look at each enumerated part of it. It comes in one piece. Each piece has to be taken, but it makes up one panoply, one suit of armor when you have it all. And the Bible said, and put on Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Put on the armor of light and put on Jesus Christ. Remember, it's not your armor, it's his armor that you're wearing into battle. Can you say amen? It's not your righteousness, it's his. It's not your truth, it's his truth. It's not your peace, it's his peace coming upon you. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And here we are trying to be strong. I don't know how many people I meet trying to convince me of how spiritually strong and adequate they are. And they have no joy and no peace, and you can't hide it. So I look past everything you're saying and look at you. I'm sorry, I look at you. I look at you week after week after week, and I look for this thing. You've got this kind of relationship with God and these kind of revelations. You need grace. You need to understand and appreciate grace. You need to get down here with the rest of us weak folks that are experiencing grace. Why didn't you just rebuke the devil and jump out of the back of that ambulance? Because I am not Superman. Hey, news break. Just a moment. CNN is breaking in. You, neither are you. Can you say amen? Paul wasn't a Superman either. That's why he stood up with all of his spiritual credentials, anointings, and ministries and said, not that we are sufficient in anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of the Lord. Amen. In other words, I am what I am. And he said it himself by the grace of God. If it wasn't for God's grace, I would have went under. If it wasn't for God's grace, I would have fallen. If it wasn't for God's grace, today we talk about our great faith. He talked about God's faithfulness to grant grace. Amen? I heard a preacher preach one time, and he brought out something. I may not be able to totally, because the Bible doesn't tell us what happened to Jacob after he wrestled with the angel and obtained the blessing. But we can assume some things. And one thing we can assume, because it didn't say that his hip totally healed up, that the angel put out of joint. And that preacher said, I've met a lot of great men all over the world. He said, and I don't trust any man that God is using greatly and blessing greatly without a limp. Why don't you trust a man without a limp? Because he don't understand and appreciate grace. And when a man says, behold, can almost, I mean, I hear these roosters out here sometime when I drive up. And you know, they don't just crow. When they crow, they strut their stuff. And I see a man walking on a platform strutting his stuff. Talking about that mountaintop, that you never need grace, you never need mercy, because you got faith, man. And he's up there. Every time he starts talking that way, I hear. I see a little banny rooster strutting his stuff till the fox comes. He can strut and crow all he wants till the fox comes. All that crowing just going to let the fox know where he's at. Can you say, man? They say, man, there's a big fat chicken over here, but there's a fatter rooster over here. I just heard him crow. He'll kill the old red rooster when he comes. He's the first one to go in the pot. Amen? Everybody, that's anybody in Jesus, is marked with something to remind them that without the grace of God, that's why they don't take the glory. They don't even give the glory to their own faith. They give the glory to God over and over and over and over. Paul said, not that we are sufficient in anything of ourselves, for our sufficiency is of the Lord. And if you're trying to emulate somebody, be like somebody, you want to be that man or woman of faith, you're going to have to find somebody that understands grace. Amen. And obtains that grace and lives in that grace by constantly acknowledging our weakness and our need for his strength that comes through grace. The Bible said we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Huh? That we might obtain grace and mercy. To help us in the time of any need. That means before any manifestation of deliverance, of healing, or of help, or of answered prayer. The first thing we go for is not the healing, the answer to prayer, and the help. The first thing we go for is the grace and mercy that precedes it all. And here we are bypassing grace and mercy because we want to show him how strong and mighty we are. He said, I don't need your strength. I need your humble dependence. So when the answer comes, you don't talk about your faith. You talk about my faithfulness, my love, my grace, my help. And God gets the glory. God wants the glory. And that's why Paul said, I ain't going to touch that glory. It belongs to God. God's power was on Paul so much at Mars Hill when he preached. The people around that worshiped those false gods said, those gods, they've come down to us in the form of men. This man is from another world. This man's from another planet. This man could be one of those gods made flesh. Paul rent his garment. He opened up and showed them his flesh, said, don't you ever attribute to me what only he can do. Can you say, man, this is God's work. I'm a man like you are. It's God you worship. You're not even supposed to worship angels. Anywhere there's the worship of angels, it's condemned in the Bible. We don't worship angels. Angels are not to be worshipped. That's what the angel told Daniel. He said, he fell down to worship. He fell down in fear and in worshipful reverence. And the angel grabbed him by the belt and yanked him to his feet and said, don't you do that. Amen. Yeah, religion, superstition, grace is when you acknowledge your need. And I've told the story so many times I hesitate to tell it, but it's just a little quick story. But Stuart Briscoe and his wife's marriage worked. They got through their trials. They still live for Jesus Christ. Amen. They speak at conferences because they've been down the road. And they asked Stuart Briscoe, because normally people are going to tell you about their faith. Don't ever start telling me about your faith. Live for God. Get some grace in your life. Something to take you through. Something that don't drop you like a hot potato when the trouble comes. Can you say, man, something that supports you and sustains you. Something that is sufficient for whatever you're facing. Amen. Now I know why people say this is too tough for me. They'd rather go to a church where someone tells them they can be Superman. Yeah. And they think the guy telling them is Superman telling them. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He said, we're not sufficient of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of the Lord. And then he talked about exactly what that was, and it was the fact that his grace was sufficient. Most people try to show me, I don't know why they try to impress me. I'm not the one that answers or don't answer prayer. I mean, why try to impress me with your spirituality? I don't want to see the rooster. I'm going to see the man with God's true blessing and the limp to prove that he knows every day that blessing's on him. Amen. The way he prevailed with God is when he was flat on his back. Changed his name from Jacob to Israel, named a nation after him. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob. It shall be called Israel, for thou hast prevailed with God. Thank you, Lord. Where was he when he prevailed? Angel let him wrestle to daylight and then threw his hip out of joint. He hit the ground like a sack of potatoes. He said, now I can put the blessing on you. And you'll never forget where it came from. Can you say, man? You know I need it, don't you? I can depend on old school rest. Y'all just say, he'd get up by himself. He still, no, I need some help. Old school knows I need help because, amen, hallelujah. I need God's help the same way. 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 My grace is sufficient for you. You obtain grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. By the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. Where are these guys that are talking about God's grace? His mercy. Our weakness, his strength. So this preacher said, he said, when Jacob left there with God's blessing, he left with that hip Oh, well, he wasn't truly blessed unless he could stand up. Oh, come on. Come on. Everybody has something to remind you. Dave Wilkerson got on a plane with the premier radio minister representative of the Assemblies of God at that time, C.M. Ward, used to be the premier radio minister of the Assemblies of God organization. David Wilkerson had saw people delivered from drugs. He got on a plane with C.M. Ward. And David got on that plane with his stomach upset, with the nervous sweats. He went with the grace of God on him. He went down into New York City, started a street ministry from a comfortable Assembly of God church, right in those boroughs where the police don't go unless you call them. And you can get a pizza quicker than they'll show up. Can you say amen? Delivered. And here he is, and he went to sleep in the front seat of his car in a part of New York where they'll kill you and take your car. Gangs were roving the streets in that day. And he slept like a baby. He was where God sent him. The grace of God was on him. And the police woke him up and said, "What are you doing down here? Don't you know this is dangerous?" Nicky Cruz came because the grace of God was on him. See, someone said one time a very biblically supported truth. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Can you say amen? The will of God will never leave you where what? Where your mighty faith will sustain. No, where the grace of God can keep you. I am what I am by my great developed faith. I am what I am by the... See, God took him up to third heaven, brought him back down here, but let him go through some tests and let him see with all of the anointing and revel. You know what he said about the need for grace in his life? He said, the reason God committed the trials that put me in the place where I was open to receive that grace, lest there was an emissary sent to me to buffet me, lest I be lifted up because of my many revelations. How many know the flesh can't take the glory of men without being lifted up? In the history, and I have the videos at home. Dale gave me a whole set of videos of God's champions and God's generals. All of them had some faults and failures. The more God used them, the more trouble they had with their flesh. And it doesn't mean to back off. It means to come at this in the right way. It doesn't matter how many people are healed under your ministry. You need grace. You need to give God all of the glory. You need to stay dependent on Him. Evangelists got jealous of one another. And actually one evangelist with a mighty healing ministry. There was another one on the field at the same time. How many know we're supposed to compliment one another, not compete with one another in the harvest field? But this one guy that everybody loved because miracles were occurring. See, these are flesh and blood people that need grace and mercy from the Lord. He had read in one of the, I think it was the Pentecostal Evangel, one of the periodicals that chronicle all these mighty revivals and mighty anointed men and women of God. And it said, so-and-so has the biggest gospel tent in the world. And that other fellow with an anointing, with people being healed. Our tent's bigger. That ain't right. And he sent people from his camp over to that tent with a measuring tape. After the service was open. Yes, he did. How did this get in this mix? People are being saved and people are being healed and you have a gift of miracles and you're worried about whose tent's the biggest. That's jealousy. Put away envy, clamor, strife, jealousy. Put it away. See, without that reminder, all of people's hand claps, all of people's allocates, all of people's praise had pedestalized a man. And I believe one of the reasons, I'm going to prophesy this, not predict it. I'm going to prophesy this to you because of the past history. Amen. I do not believe there is going to be a man with an anointing for this last day revival raised up. They have come and they have gone. Can you say, man, I believe it's something that's going to come within the true church. through the body of Christ. It wouldn't surprise me that this man right here would go to the hospital and get unction, because he ain't going to do nothing on his own if God don't unction him. He understands his weaknesses, his need for God's help and God's guidance. He's not resting in his wisdom, amen, in his strength. That's the kind of people that qualify for the Holy Ghost to use. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Even Jesus made of himself no reputation. Isn't that amazing? He was God incarnate, but he didn't make of himself a reputation. He didn't go out to establish his own reputation, because there was no pride in him, no ulterior motive in anything that he did. Everything was to glorify the Father. Some of you are going through things right now that grace can take you through. And you're trying to tough it out. You're trying to show God that you can make it. You don't need to show God anything but your unequivocal trust in his unfailing love and his sufficient grace. Can you say that? You know what you need more than to show out? You need to show up at that mercy seat. Can you say amen? Well, people, I want people to respect me because of my spirituality. Honey, you've done lost mine. Because it isn't working. Spirituality isn't just how much you know, it's who you know. They that do know their God. And he's a God of grace. And he's a God of mercy. And he's a God of love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. His caress. Something in grace. God's grace was on me. I mean, good Lord. You know, what was God trying to teach you? Things I already know, but he's just reiterating it to me. In the back of that ambulance, just me and the guy in there. And what's he saying? We're bringing the man on with a stroke code. You don't like to hear you've had a stroke. My sugar level just dropped and I needed orange juice. That's why I went to the fridge. It was going to be a quick little drink of orange juice in the shower and on my way. So I didn't even dress to go get my orange juice. Don't look, Ethel. Can you say amen? I just went and got my drink. That was a song. She gets it. Everybody else is way over you. Amen. Yeah. So I just,
how many shower naked?
You're not ashamed of it. Just raise your hand. We got how many shower naked? Alice, she old school too. She said, I don't want to go there. I'm gonna tell you, aren't you glad for the robe of righteousness? Aren't you glad? The Bible said God gave us a robe of righteousness so the shame of our nakedness would not appear. Honey, I don't want to stand nowhere naked. I'm going to tell you right now. Amen. I like to be covered up somewhat. Amen. I don't wear no thong to the beach, folks. I'm going to tell you. You don't have to be afraid to go this year. That's some things you just don't want to see. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Don't you even go there and say, man, I don't want to see him like that. Amen. I don't even think of him that way. Thank you for staying sanctified. Amen. Glory to God. Wasn't hard either. You fall and you hit your head. You're in the back of an ambulance and you feel like, you know, I felt like, well, I was so tired anyway. And I got up this morning, I was so tired. This is not too bad. I don't even have to go to breakfast. In fact, right now, I don't have to do nothing. Isn't that crazy? Don't know if you're going to make it through this. If you do, you don't know if you're going to be paralyzed. Yes, you do know. God's in control. And all I can tell you is when that sufficient grace kicks in, it's like pushing that button on that recliner. It goes back. And see, my dad all his life thought when the time to die comes, I may have to go through some terrible suffering. If that grace comes on. Corrie Ten Boom was a dedicated Christian young woman. But she pondered when the day of death would come. As a young woman, I don't know if I could handle that. And her grandfather, in such wisdom, he said, "Corey, when we go to the train station, this Dutch Christian who hid Christians and died in a prison camp for doing it in World War II, he said, when we go to the train station, back then you didn't get your ticket in advance, and you went to the train station. The most prominent way of travel in Holland during World War II was by rail." He said, "When do we get our ticket? When we go to the train station, when do we get our ticket?" She said, "Just before we get on the train to travel." He said, "That's right." And he said, "When the time comes for us to go home, God then will give us the ticket." You know what he was explaining to her? He said, "When the time comes, you don't have it now. There's no need even thinking about it. When the time comes, the Lord will give us the ticket, which is the grace sufficient, which is the peace of his presence, which is the peace that passes all understanding." You don't know why you're not worried. You don't know why you're not fearful. You don't know why you're not upset, but you know you're not. Where is that coming from? That's coming from sufficient grace. But I'm going to tell you something. Everything that God does through me after that nervous exhaustion experience, after having that physical problem, everything that God does for me and through me, you will see in me a definite, definitive limp. I am not trying to be strong and mighty. I'm trying to acknowledge my desperate need for His sufficient grace. And He is granting it. Can you say amen? You will never hear me as being powerful all the time, but you will hear me as being faithful. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, and by the help and grace of God, I'm going to stand for Him and serve Him no matter what. I don't trust a man without a limp either. Because I believe when Jacob walked away with the blessing, there was a reminder. Amen. When did that a blessing occur? When you were standing up claiming it, or when you were depending on the Lord for your very life? Hallelujah. When you were broken and surrendered before Him. Jacob was a supplanter. Jacob wanted to get the blessing. He wanted to grab it away and take it. And that's not how it comes. Can you say amen? That's not how it comes. He was grabbing a hold of his brother's heel when they came out of the womb. He had a hold of his brother's heel when those twins were born. He wanted what his brother had and schemed to get it. He was a schemer to get ahead. But he found out God's blessings come when you surrender to Him. And in that surrender, the blessing come. When he walked away, he walked like this. I remember Kim and Dale. They're so crazy. I can talk about Kim. She's not here, and Ditter's not here to pick on. So this is Kim's day. Kim and Dale pulled in. They said to anybody handicapped. There's no one handicapped. We're not making fun of handicapped people. We're making fun of Kim and Dale. Okay. Pull in. They'll find your hide. Big time. They pulled into a handicap. Said, "We're only going to be in there a minute. Come on." They pulled in on place to park, pulled in that handicap place. This is years ago before they got highly sanctified like now. But anyway, they pulled into that handicap place, and Kim got out and told Dale, "Walk this way." Somebody say, "You so crazy." I'm glad God saved them gals, ain't you? Hallelujah. And I'm glad He's still working on them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, I believe Jacob walked that way. Caesar Augustus had conquered kingdom after kingdom after kingdom. When his marching army came back with the spoils of war, the kings of nations with yokes around their neck, Caesar led them into Rome in victory in a golden chariot, historically true, pulled by white horses. Why Jesus is coming on a white horse. It's a symbol of triumphant victory. It's what conquerors rode. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And he came. And he's riding before his mighty armies and the vanquished foes, this mighty Caesar of Rome, the world empire at that time, his advisor. The people are screaming, hollering, "Caesar, Caesar, hail Caesar, hail Caesar, hail Caesar." Honey, you think they're out of line? I see people almost do that for anointed evangelists. I see people get that attitude. It's not that we shouldn't give honor where honor is due, but the praise goes to God and Him alone. The glory goes to God and Him alone. Hail Caesar! Hail Caesar! Hail Caesar! And Caesar's face is glowing as he gloats in the adoration of his power and all of those people acknowledging. And his advisor was in the chariot with him, standing just back from him. And he saw it, and he took a step forward, and he whispered in his ear, "Remember, Caesar. Thou art but a man." Don't forget. Don't forget. There's someone above you. That's what he was trying to get. Someone above you. Can you say, man, you're not a God? Today, we got a whole theology. I don't want to get over in that because time won't permit. It'll be in a teaching time sometime. But I want you to know this idea that we somehow, amen, because we get born again, inherit divinity. He comes to live within us, but we are not divine. You are not a God with a big G or little G. Can you say, man, you do not have God-like power. You do not dictate to angels. Amen. Come on, the blessing don't come by us taking it. The blessing comes when we acknowledge that God is the only one that can help us. God is the only one that can get glory. God is the only one that gets strength. I got to tell you one quick biblical illustration, and we'll finish reading this scripture and we'll quit. Samson. He's known. The greatest feat that God used him for was to pick up the jawbone of a donkey as a battle weapon. God will never put in your hand what is sufficient to win the battle so that you get the honor for it without Him getting the glory for it. That's why He didn't give him a sword or a spear or a sling. He gave him a jawbone of a donkey. The only thing he could find to fight with was what God provided. That was the jawbone of a donkey, but that's all he needed with God's power. And see, he hadn't discovered his need for grace yet. He was power-oriented. Our power. If Jesus had come to our church when I got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and did what he did at the Sermon on the Mount, half the church would have left and I'd been one of the first ones out the door. Why, Brother Venable? Are you ready? You know what the Bible said when he delivered that sermon? Jesus? Are you ready for this? Can you see a Pentecostal people walking? Pentecostal preacher back in the day walking out and sat down and taught them. That man can't be anointed. He ain't no preacher. What? He's just going, what? Come on. This ain't the First Baptist. This is a Pentecostal church. We're spirit filled. We got the power. Where's his power? This is Jesus. We would have took Jesus' door. Said, come back when you fasted and prayed and got the anointing. You know, most people walk through that door, think they know it all. They want to inform me. I often wonder why you're not the pastor. Anybody with that kind of knowledge, you're being completely wasted. God is wasting you. Amen? You should be leading a grand church with all of that. I meet people all the time, no more than the people God has set over them. They don't know nothing about grace. They don't qualify for grace. They're too strong in themselves and too struck on themselves, to be honest with you. Amen? There ain't no limp in them. All this spirituality is represented without a limp to recognize our desperate dependence upon the Lord. How many know the Spirit of God came on Samson? It can come on you. Samson almost died after God used him supernaturally. And because that he didn't concern himself about God's glory, but only his vengeance, he died with his enemies. And if you consider that victory, I don't want to hang out with you much. Because you want the power to push down the house and it'll fall in on you too. Did he die with the Philistines? Did Saul and Jonathan die on the field of battle? Did you know they mutilated their bodies after they died? And they cremated the remains because you couldn't even put it back together again, and took their bones and buried them. How art the mighty fallen? They were swift as eagles in battle. We're after the anointing, the power. We don't understand, appreciate, or appropriate the grace. How many powerful people have fallen? How many are fallen today with gifts and anointings in the pulpit? Nationally known. Don't go after that. That's, you got to get rid of your pride, your arrogance, your self-sufficiency. You've got to acknowledge your deficiency in yourself and your sufficiency only in him. We made Samson a hero. He was. Until he became arrogant, compromised his anointing. The Bible said of Saul and Jonathan, as we close again, it was as if they were never anointed. They were, but they died as if they were never anointed. And David was so heart struck by that, because he knew the anointing and the power of it, but he knew the need for grace. Blessed is the man who never needs forgiveness, who's got it all together, who never needs to bow before God. No, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Can you say, man, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So Samson, Spirit of God came on him. He was so overconfident that he couldn't lose it. Even after sleeping with a harlot, it came on him. But before he ever got to Delilah, he had slept with the Philistine prostitute. Got up the next morning, power of God come on him. Power of God, power of God. Just the power that we're after. And what did he do? Took the gates of the city that locked him in off their hinges, took him up on a hillside and threw him down. Gates that armies couldn't bust through, the man took off their hinges and threw down. Went from that prostitute to another one. But en route, an army came of 1,000 Philistine soldiers. He saw a jawbone, picked it up, Spirit of God came on him. Spirit of God came on him. And you know what he did? He just swung it. 1,000 men were decimated. 1,000 men died by the hand of one man with a jawbone. Armed soldiers, dead. And when Samson got through, he made a declaration. You want to hear it? Heaps upon heaps. Everybody say, cock-a-doodle-doo. There you go. You got it. Come on. Come on. Isn't that exactly what he did? Heaps upon heaps. I have slain. Where's God? My power, my anointing, my faith. Where's God? You don't touch God's glory that way. You don't take it. You don't try to eclipse it. I have slain 1,000 men. What's the next thing that happened? He crumpled to the ground. God had used him supernaturally. Do you realize the human body used of God supernaturally to slay 1,000 men is completely dehydrated? You know about dehydration? You better get in the hospital and get yourself an IV. You're going to die on the spot. And he knew, I'm dying. After he made that statement, isn't it amazing how rooster crows and drops like that? And he said, Lord, help me.
I'm dying. Help me.
He said, look in that jawbone. In the hollow of the jawbone, there was water. So God wasn't just using the man. He was providing for the man that he was using. And that's why he's not going to use you up. Can you say, man? And he took a drink of that cool water God had provided. Hallelujah. And he stood up and said, heaps about, no. Everything's changed now that grace has kicked in. He said, let's go. Take down that sign. Quick, don't write that on that sign. Let's don't let this place be called heaps upon heaps. This is where Samson slayed. Let's call this place the well of him that cried. Now who's getting the glory? He said, if it wasn't for God, I'd be dead right now. I'd be a goner. Only God and God only. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every highly anointed preacher needs to drink in from his mercy and grace to be used in his power. Without it, they're saying the flesh will inevitably take control, and they will find themselves saying, if not directly, I have done this. Amen? And when a man says, behold, I stand, that's the next man that is marked for defeat. You better take heed. You better watch out. You better watch out, you in this room that go out and tell everybody else to show them how spiritual you are. You better watch out, because they're going to ask you, amen, to live up to that, not just talk to them about it. Be careful to you're trying to convince that you're right. They're going to look at you to live something, not just say something that is biblically correct. People don't just look at me to hear what I have to say. They look at me to see what I do in my circumstances of life. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like the grace of God. It is incredibly sufficient. I felt, and then Pamela added to it at the hospital when she arrived and come in. She said what I was experiencing, but I needed just to go ahead and acknowledge it. Then I even rested even more. She said, honey, I just believe she's rubbing my forehead. It felt kind of good, to tell you the truth. I wouldn't want to go through that to get it, but it did feel good. Hint, hint, hint. Can you say, anyway, she's rubbing my forehead. Amen. And she said, and she had the grace on her. She had to. I'm glad a panic-stricken wife didn't come and say, oh, God, what are we going to do? Despite the devil. The devil's not the one. I'm in God's mighty hands right now. Come on, we're not in no wrestling match with the devil. Amen. God wants to give me grace. I don't need to fight for this. I need to rest in him for this. Amen. I've got the good fight of faith, and it feels like I'm in an easy chair when I do it. Oh, you didn't hear that. You didn't hear that. Come on, I know you want to get out there and give it this. I know you do. I know you do. But it's wearing you out, and you don't have his peace, and you're getting wore out, wore down. You're going to lose with all of this. You're more aware of the devil coming against you than the God that's holding you in his right hand. Oh, you need to get a God consciousness come on you. The battle for this victory in my life was won at Calvary. Oh, make no mistake about it. The battle for my victory was won at the cross. Can you say, man, right where yours was won?
Glory be to God.
Oh, you didn't hear me, church. The battle was won at the cross. Satan was defeated. Jesus stood up. The mighty victor. And he said, I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And it feels like you're in an easy chair. And I told Pamela, I said, honey, if God wants me. See, the peace was so strong. You got to be careful what you say when that peace comes on. Peace was so strong. I'm ready to just go on. I'm so close and it feels so good. Going home is not a bad thing. Where was the old Grim Reaper? I didn't see nothing like no Grim Reaper. Can you say, man, where do you think the devil was during all this? Don't know, don't care, but he wasn't nowhere near me, because you can't have this peace thinking about him. When God draws near, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be hard-pressed to find the devil.
Oh, you didn't hear me.
When God draws near. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well, the devils believe. And tremble. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I said when God draws near. Last thing I needed to think that the devil had me around the neck and I had to battle him. No, he wasn't. No, God drew near. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I told Pamela, I said, honey, if God wants me home, I just don't want to be a burden. In other words, I know I'm still alive, so he must not want me, you know, but I don't want to be a burden to you. I don't want to be a burden to anybody. If he wants me home, I'd just soon go on home, but I don't want to be paralyzed from the neck down. My arm's dead here. My face is drooped and this side is useless, but God is on the throne. Can you say amen? There's a window. You might know about a little bit about the window for a stroke victim that they can give you something to try to reverse it. It's a little dangerous because it thins the blood. And if there is a hemorrhage, it can make it worse. But it hopefully can keep the damage from occurring from a middle to major from that stage on. You see, only time they consider it, well, they considered it for me and asked me, did I want it? Or ask us something of that. Anyway, the answer was no. Actually, they saw there was no need for it. Because people begin to pray immediately, and the grace of God was already present. Hallelujah. And immediately, I mean, before they ran all the rest of the tests and let me come home, I could hold my leg up and they couldn't push it down. I could take their hand. Amen. I could take their, don't be afraid, it's okay. I used to get in one of those squeeze matches. I squeezed that nurse's hand till I knew it hurt her. I wanted her to know, man, God, I'm getting better. Amen. God is not only going to not call me home now, he's going to fix me up and put me back on my feet and bring a testimony out of this test. Can you say, how do you know that's all going to occur? Because you've got that perfect peace reigning in your heart and in your life. I was in God's easy chair. I was all stretched out. And I was just, I mean, everything else was stretched out. Everything else was laid back. There was no more fight to fight because the victory was won. Can you say, amen? Oh, you didn't hear me either. There's no more fight to fight when the victory's won. When that grace comes, there's a deep sense the victory's won. I can relax now in the Lord. The victory is won. I have the peace. That's how grace works. Paul got a hold of that. And he wasn't harried, worried, pressed to where he experienced that one time. In Asia, pressed beyond measure, despaired of life itself, that he might do what? Learn not to trust in himself, but in God who raises the dead. God who can do anything. He said, I was that low, but he lifted me out. Hallelujah. Paul said, I know there's no third heaven experience that can take the place of his grace and mercy in my life. There's no miracle healing, no powerful manifestation of a gift of the Spirit that can take the place of his grace in my life. Can you say, man, that's why he never touched the glory. Can you say, man, that's why he never, ever competed. He said, if somebody's doing a good job over here, I strive not to preach where the gospel was already preached or to build on another man's foundation. And all of this steep sheep rustling that occurs now. Man goes to a church, holds a revival in five churches, and then builds his own church out of the people he stole from all the other churches. And all you calls it revival. All you're doing is sifting the saints that were all in other places into a central place.
That's right. Bringing more trouble.
he told me a few Sundays ago. I said, if this place fills up and overflows, he said, you'll have a lot more headaches. I said, yes, but with God's grace, it's sufficient for me. Hallelujah. Did anybody get the message today?
Yes, sir.
This will probably be for next week, but let me read it quickly and we'll close. Who has a God like unto thee, Look at the grace here that pardoneth iniquity. By grace you are saved through faith. It's a gift of God, right? And passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage as he casts our sins away from us because of that grace as far as the east is from the west. He pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage and retaineth not his anger forever. We're not appointed to wrath but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ because he delights in mercy. Can you say amen? That's all about grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And moved by fear, by faith, built an ark to the saving of his household. Who has a God like our God, the NIV says, who pardons sin, forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance. You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Go read this part, we will quit. Ancient Israel's troubles, like ours, were a result of rebellion and sin. God's judgment had come. Their enemies had now prevailed and boasted in their victories over them. That is the context of Micah 7. They without God's covering seem so helpless and hopeless. It's similar to where America is headed and is entered into already. Listen, but because of the God of grace and the grace of God, all of that is about to change. They had broken their covenant with him, but he would not break his covenant with them. If they would repent and return to the Lord, he would grant them mercy and forgiveness. Everybody say that's grace. Prayers were going to be answered now. Enemies vanquished. Blessings restored. And God would get the glory that he always wants to receive when he delivers his people. Jameson Fawcett Brown, this great old commentary, so up to date in biblical truth, said in Micah 7, 1 through 20, those verses, this is what they said. The universality of the corruption of the chosen remnant, driven from every human confidence, turns to God, triumphs by faith over her enemies, is comforted by God's promises in answer to prayer, and by the confusion of her enemies, so breaks forth into praises of God's character. Can you say amen? Amen. When you see your enemies come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways, you start giving God praise because you know it's of grace. Can you say, isn't that good? Isn't that shouting ground? Misery has turned to hope. Matthew Henry's commentary on our text is as follows in closing. And it was their sin that brought them into bondage. So it was God's pardoning their sin that brought them out of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, through repentance, his pardon will deliver us from those consequences and restore the blessing. Having a zeal for repentance. How many, when the trouble comes, and I'm still, listen, I got other things occurring, and I still need to find that easy chair of faith, that place in God that I'm trusting his sufficient grace, that I can relax in the midst of the chaos, the persecution, the test, and the sense of my own weakness and inability to cope. I sense it all the time. I walk like this in my spirit. Not because God has not fixed something I need fixing, but because God leaves something to remind me. Finish this. We're almost there. I know you're tired, wore out, and I know this hadn't been a happy service for a lot of people, but sure been happy for me because I don't want to end up tired and wore out and can't hardly make it through life as a Christian. I'd like to show somebody that this is the best life in all the world, especially in these last days. I'd like to get excited over the salvation of my loved ones, even though they're running from God as hard as they can run. But I believe with all of my heart they're going to run into him while trying to run from him because God is that kind of God today. Let me close with this. Amen. Or just let me close. Hallelujah. God has been so good. God has been so good. How many people in this room believe that you have a need to get back to grace, to get back to the place at the foot of the cross? I know you know more now. God's used you more powerfully. You have a deeper revelation. But how many believe that you need to get back to where you were when you came with a sinner as nothing to offer with a great need for His grace and love. Right at the foot of Calvary with an acknowledgement, Lord, I need You now just like I needed You then. Can you say, man, how many would wave at me and let me know if you need that in your life, that humility, that kind, that you might experience that grace. Glory to God. 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 Something is going to occur in your life and mine. My life has been changed by the nervous exhaustion experience and the grace that God took me through instead of taking me from. He chose. He's the executive one who decides when we pray to take us through and teach us or take us from and let us continue the patterns that we're in. Sometimes He takes us from. Other times He takes us through. But when you come out the other side, you might have a limp to remind you, but you will always understand that He is the Lord. Can you say, man, and His grace brought you through that, and it'll take you through anything. So you don't have to worry about the future. When the time comes, Brother Taylor, whatever we face, He'll give us the ticket, and the ticket is sufficient grace. Can you say, man? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good today and He's faithful. How many will agree with that? God saw your hands. Will you stand up with me now? Let's believe Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want a pattern, get your eyes off the cockadoodle preacher of today. That's feeding his own pride and wants you to feed yours by trying to be like him. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on the one who said, as an apostle of Christ, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you that was in him. Can you say, man, who took on himself the form of a servant, was obedient to the death of the cross? Praise God. Show your spirituality. I don't even know if I can use the word show, but demonstrate your spirituality by His meekness, His kindness, His love, His mercy, His devotion, His obedience. Don't try to show it by convincing people of how wonderfully, biblically, anointedly, revelations. There's a danger, even if it's real in your life, there's a danger in you being lifted up above measure. And Paul said, if it keeps me out of the pride that brings the resistance of God that I need to sustain me, I'll take pleasure in necessities and persecutions. Because if it puts me on my face, it keeps me safe. Can you say amen? Amen. But that didn't mean he was a fatalist and he was down and out all the time. It meant that what he was receiving was coming pure from God's strength in his life. It's called sufficient grace. That's why his faith worked. That's why the power of God rested upon. He even talked about persecutions. The Bible did that the power of God may rest upon us. Weathering it, bowing, trusting, the power of God comes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, this congregation right now is small, but our problems are big. Our trials are heavy. And we come in here with family issues, physical issues, financial. We come in here with a sense of being aliens in a world that is running headlong away from you instead of to you. With many people in that world that won't listen to us when we try to share you. But we still want to share you. Because somebody, someday, somewhere is going to hear and give heed to your wonderful message of hope and love and grace and mercy. Father, we need lifting up. We need encouragement. We need your help. We need your sufficient grace. Every one of us needs to go home today and get in a spiritual easy chair